I've sewn you up. I've set your bones, but I won't bury you. I've buried enough members of the Wang family.
You leave me? Am I going to walk around, rip your tapestries down? And why are you fucking leaving me? That's what the fuck I don't fucking understand. Give me a fucking answer.
Leaving is all I have to make you understand. You're not Batman anymore.
Oh, good for you! I hope it's fucking good because it's ruined now, isn't it? It's the third time you don't give a shit about what's going on in Gotham. I'm just going along trying to save Gotham, and I'm like, where the fuck is Alfred walking around complaining about me losing myself in the mask? Why the fuck are you doing this? Like, oh, da-da-da. Like, this in the background while I'm doing detective work. Do you understand that my mind isn't on stopping crime if you're doing that?
Fair enough. I absolutely apologize, Master Wayne.
You do it again, and the next time I walk in the cave, you're not employed. I'm fucking serious, man. You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy. But that don't fucking cut it. Stay out of the fucking cave, man. Fuck's sake, man. Fucking amateur. I can't just move on. Rachel didn't. She couldn't.
What if she had? What if, before she died, she wrote a letter saying she chose Harvey Dent over you?
No! No!
And what if, to spare your pain, she burnt that letter?
I'm gonna kick your fucking ass! How dare you use Rachel to try and stop me? You got any idea about, hey, it's fucking distracting having someone bring Rachel up while I'm in the middle of a fucking crime wave?
I'm using the truth, Master Wayne. Maybe it's time we all stop trying to outsmart the truth and let it have its day.
I'm Batman.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry? You expect to destroy my world and think we're going to shake hands?
No. No, I know what this means.
What does it mean?
It means your hatred. It also means losing someone that I've cared for since the first heard his cries echoed through his house. Can we take a second?
No, we can't take a fucking second. Let's fucking go again.
I have a lump in my throat the size of Rachel's balls, which, by the way, are the size of a tangerine.
Goodbye, Alfred. Seriously, you and me are fucking done professionally.
5, 4, 3, 2,
engage.
Prescribed by comic book therapy.
Welcome to another venom-filled episode of The Weekly Dose, the show that deals with comics, geek movies, and nerd-smoking paraphernalia, brought to you by comic book therapy. This is your gracious host, Witty Supername. When we left you in last week's episode, the question was, would X escape the basement before the bomb went off? He didn't. He dead, son. But no matter. With me, as always, is Norwoody. Hey, Norwood.
Hello.
And of course we have Pedro.
What's up?
And special guest introducing star, Dan Quiroga.
Quiroga, man.
Quiroga, man.
Mr. Miyagi?
I gave
box
it a
on, box off.
Say hi, Dan.
Right to okay.
He is the premier anime expert on the show. So this
yes,
is very, great news for you guys out there that who love anime, which we haven't been talking about at all. So
no, we haven't, because none of us know it about it, because we're not Dan Quiroga. Oga. Motherfucker.
Dan, what? Mr. Miyagi, Quiroga.
Not the circle, right the circle.
If you read about anime on comic book therapy, then you know his work. So we won't even talk about that. What's up, guys? How you doing?
All right.
I'm doing fine.
No one busy eating dinner tonight?
Ready to talk about? Coke, and I'm good.
One in the morning in my end, so I'm fine.
All right. The kids chase you down there, Pedro?
They did. They did. Beat me up. It was disgusting. You didn't painful as well.
You sound like you've been beaten.
Yes. By life.
All right.
Okay. First on the menu here. First on the menu.
First on the menu.
Yo, mama.
First on the menu.
Yo, mama.
Got better.
Oh.
Oh, man. Damn. How dare you.
First up on the menu, rumor has it, Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles is going into production. I say Ninja Turtles, not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because now they're well-adjusted adult alien karate geckos or something. What do you guys think about this crap?
I think you said it all. Crap is the word.
Crap, huh?
I don't know now what's going on in Michael Bay's head, but he better not pass it around, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. So the script was leaked quite a while ago. Do you think they're going to use a whole new script, or do you think they're going to go with the pile that they already leaked out there?
The pile that's there, everyone knows what's going to happen, and he doesn't seem to change any new news. When something leaks out, he doesn't seem to change anything. It seems to be what the fans expect, and I think this is no different. He'll keep the same formula, the same pile of steaming script that was leaked. And I pretty much think he leaked it because he wanted. It's like he loves to be hated.
I think.
Yeah, he did the same thing with Transformers when people were like, these don't look like Transformers. It just looks like sharp edges and nothing's recognizable. And he pretty much just said, hey, fuck you guys. The original stuff looks so lame. I think he kept saying, it's like lame, man. It's uncool. If you would have seen how it looked, you would have been like, wow, man, that's uncool. So I did it this way. Fuck you guys.
That's exactly what he said. You didn't paraphrase at all.
Well, my opinion working on the whole franchise to start off with Ninja Turtles altogether needs to die. I mean, you're looking at an old cartoon franchise that was started in the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, what was popular back then? This was even before the great Batman the Animated Series. You got Cadillacs and Dinosaurs and Max going alongside that. Those are shows that basically gone by the wayside. Why doesn't Ninja Turtles do the same? I mean, it's over. Why bring it up?
Well, for me, they're re-releasing the comic book and the black and white, the original comic book in color form this year. And I think, they're going to get a lot of fans just based on that. But the problem is they're not basing this new movie on what made it so awesome. It was never heard of, these Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was such a new and fresh idea at the time that everybody latched onto it, and then, became the comic book, the television show and all that stuff, and then the movie came out in, like, 89, and it was such a great movie. It was dark, and, we want to, remakes are one thing, but we need to capture the same spirit of the comic book that actually the source material, and that's where a lot of these new movies mess up. They don't capture that source material where it came from,
Even when I was a really little kid, it's like I liked the cartoon, but I loved the first movie, and I didn't care that it was. I mean, it was fairly dark for what it was. I mean, you still had freaking rapping Ninja Turtles skateboarding around talking about pizza and shit. But other than that, there was actually some dark themes and stuff. Is this one supposed to be live action? That's the one thing I didn't know.
I think so. Live action, yeah, and I think some of the people are supposed to reprise the roles, voice wise, like Corey Haim or Corey Feldman, whichever one didn't die. It's supposed
Corey
to reprise
the
voices
one,
like Donatello.
Why don't they reprise them being Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Why don't they reprise that?
Because they grew up. They grew up.
They're, I don't know how they're going to explain Shred. I mean, this doesn't make sense. You got Splinter. He's supposed to be a giant rat. I guess he's from the giant rat planet. I didn't read the script because I heard about it and I was like, this crap, I'm not gonna read that. So then you got these planets from this, you know, turtle planet or wherever the fuck it is. Why are they coming to Earth? There's not, you know, the turtles here are pets. Why do they think they're gonna be treated any different coming to Earth? Or are they running from Shredder, who happens to be a human from the planet Turtle? Oh.
They might as well just go really dark fit and say, hey, you know, whatever. PG-13 dark, at least. I mean, they don't have to have, like, decapitated heads, but, I mean, they might as well just go for it, because it's, I mean, it just sounds ridiculous any other way.
I don't buy it either way. I don't like it.
Either way, there's going to be a cartoon. It's going to be kid-friendly, and it's going to do well, because seems like they've always had the cartoon and the toys, and that's the biggest part that's important to them, so might as well make a really dark one where they're, like, slicing people up, and so, you know.
I guess that could work.
But,
I just think it's a franchise that's seen its time already and needs to be put back in the closet.
You know, I guess I don't even really care. It just sounds like a stupid idea to change.
Well, it's kind of like RoboCop. Like, our
title, they're changing the title when they change anything about those four little bits of information.
just do Battletoads. There wasn't a movie of that, so go ahead and change the movie to Battletoads, because that's what it sounds like to me. And, you know, maybe it should die off for another, you know, 20 years. And so, you know, maybe they'll enjoy it in the future and it'll actually be awesome. But, you know, it's kind of like RoboCop. Why do that again? You know, nobody cares.
Especially the way they're designing it, I agree.
All right. This week we had the mid-season premiere of Supernatural. Did any of you guys watch it?
I've been following the series intensively through catch-ups on Netflix and such, and I'm all the way up, caught up to the just short of the last couple of episodes. It's really building up. This whole thing with the Leviathans basically was a really good power build-up. It allowed them to explore other areas than just the angels and demons fighting against each other. Apocalypses, heaven and hell, you know, kicking Lucifer's ass. I mean, it's gotten to a bigger point now where it looks like it's drawing to a close. There's the ultimate showdown where is Crowley going to have the upper hand, or is Cass and the gang and, of course, Sam and Dean going to really kick some ass and get Crowley locked away forever? That's the big thing right now.
You know, I actually really like this episode just because it seemed to hint at some larger things that could be happening. The angel tablet, for one, and possibly a new player that I believe something about controlling the angels or someone behind the angels. And I don't know if it'll actually go anywhere, because, I mean, I kind of think after the fifth season, they kind of lost their way a little bit. I still like the sixth season, but it had seemed to have, like, not a very good grasp on what direction they were going with it. You know what I mean? They kind of changed the path they were on. And the seventh season, I was just like, what the fuck's going on here? You know, it seems like there was no one leading the show on it, but I'm really hoping they finally just wrap it up in the next couple of years and go somewhere with it. So it's probably just one of those mid-season teasers that makes a lot of promises that won't come true, but yeah, it still got me. The show is still fun.
It's got its moments. I mean, it's got an excellent writing team. You've got Ben Edlund, who's basically a very skilled writer. I mean, he's worked on shows like The Tick, so you know you're going to keep all that consistency of pop culture, great parody going in there, a lot of good humor going in with the guys. Jeremy Carver, who used to work writing on Being Human, I mean, it's a fantastic lineup right there. It's going to take some time to build up this storyline, because I think it's coming to the end of the road. I mean, you have Sam deciding whether he wants to stay on that road. You have Dean, who's ever more committed to try and end this thing because of all the pain and anguish and lost friends and lovers and relatives and family that they've lost because of this war with the demons and such. It's got a you know, go somewhere where they're really going to kick some ass.
Yeah.
So at what point are they now? I mean, is the Leviathan run done with? And now they're going against Crowley once again.
They quickly brushed that under the rug, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what I meant. Like in season 7, it seemed like there was always the threat of the Leviathan, but they pretty much had that was more like those Leviathan are still out there. Well, let's go and fight this supernatural thing. And then,
we'll deal with
the last couple episodes are like, oh, we better take care of those Leviathan. Oops, we're done.
The awesome part about it is for this next episode next week, I just got a peek. It's going to be one for the gamers and the geeks and all of you who love that gorgeous femme fatale geek gal extraordinaire, Felicia Day.
Oh, shit.
She'll be coming back. As Charlie Bradbury, she introduced her character
at the
end of season 7.
Last season, wasn't she? Or?
Yes. Very amusing character. Definitely want to check it out next week.
What do you have to say about this, Cody?
I don't know.
He just, look at what he wrote. I know Jack knows shit about Supernatural.
We're talking about
your mom
watching us.
I have nothing to say about Supernatural. I've seen maybe 2 minutes of that show since it started.
2 minutes? Wow.
8 years ago. In 8 years, you saw 2 minutes.
I'm glad you gave
it a
chance.
Worse than me. I'm happy now.
Exactly.
Season one.
Definitely needs to be given a chance the first 5 seasons. It's just
there's like a long, slow build.
Wait. Did you just say someone needs to watch all 5 seasons to just give it a chance?
No.
Give it a chance and go up to at least 5. I say go mammoth, go the first 5 seasons at least, because you will.
Well, you go one full
it
episode.
It will be a treat. It's actually that.
You'll never go full episode.
I will watch one full episode after this chat, just for the sake of that.
I say go all the way. At least the first 5 seasons. It's just awesome.
Don't watch. Don't make the episode watch be season 8 or 7 or any.
He's like, hey, don't stop at third base, man.
You just got to give it a chance. Just watch, you know, about 100 hours of it.
Listen, Cody, I didn't buy you that chicken sandwich just so you'd, you know, stop at third base.
All right.
Who watched Arrow? Another mid-season premiere.
I didn't watch it. What was it? Was it yesterday? Hello?
Yeah, it was yesterday, I believe. Yeah.
I meant to watch it today.
Watched that show. It's the best show in the world.
What?
Yes.
After all.
No, I didn't catch it either, man. I read a review on it a while ago so I could talk about it on the show.
It was, meh.
I have one question. Does it pick up a couple of weeks later, or is it immediately after?
I think it's like a good month or so after.
Yeah, he's still trying to get back on the horse and all that stuff, I believe.
Yeah. Mostly he's in shape, he's ready to go, but he has this whole, I almost died thing going on, so.
So they ripped another thing off Nolan. He's kind of in that 8-year this time.
Yeah, he gives up after 2 months, though.
Yeah.
So he's no longer Arrow, he's emo Arrow.
This episode had Firefly on it, and
it's Quiver now.
And spoiler alert, he will not be back. Another one of those.
Like Deadshot.
Did they kill Deadshot? I don't even remember.
They shot him in the eye. I don't know how he could have survived.
He will be back. I've seen that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he'll team up with Mrs. White, isn't he?
He'll just have a cybernetic eye now, I guess.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought when he got shot originally. I was like, did they really just add Deadshot and kill him? And I was like, oh, he must have survived.
It wouldn't surprise me.
And then
me.
This week I was like, did they just kill Firefly? He did literally nothing.
So he deserved to die.
Yeah. Firefly goes up to kill someone. Arrow stands in front of him and says no. So the guy just fucking kills himself. Spoiler alert.
Burn himself alive.
Yeah. He just walks into the fire and I'm just like, why the fuck did you even have him? You could have had a no-name guy. It's like,
God damn it.
What was his motivation? He was trying to kill off members of his old crew or something like that?
Yeah, how do you know? Is that what your review said?
Yeah.
That's the whole episode.
I was guessing, man. I was guessing, so it's so cliche that I guessed incorrectly.
Did they actually call him Firefly, though?
No, I was going to ask
that. No. He had
Fireman.
That was it.
Sure, they call him, like, Sparky or something.
they might as well have. But yeah, that was the whole thing. And then Arrow was like, now that I told that guy no and he killed himself in front of me, now I can get back on the horse.
So it works like a catalyst?
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid.
I don't know.
It was the catalyst for the whole episode. But he played the whole backstory to Arrow getting back in shape and getting back on the horse and all that stuff.
Firefly was pretty much like, I'm going to burn this guy. And Arrow said, no! No! And he killed himself.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Well, Arrow's not coming back like Brainiac. Oh, that was to Dan. He typed something on our Skype chat. So.
Speaking of DC disappointing us, we heard a little new information on Amazon. Might cast a woman named Amy Manson, which no one has ever heard of.
Don't be like that.
She was in Torchwood and Misfit. She's known to European audiences.
Oh,
she hasn't had a breakout American role, I don't think.
I only know her by red hair when she was in that role with the red hair. So that's the only one. I always wondered if the carpet matched the drapes. So I guess it doesn't.
Cody, do you know?
If
you got red hair, tell us.
I do not.
It was a wig. It was a wig.
Have you guys seen her? Is she a good actress?
I don't think she's right for Wonder Woman, but I mean, she's supposed to be younger, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw her and I was like,
it's It's CW. It has nothing to do with being right for the character.
That's true.
Whoever they want to cast will get the part.
Perfect cast of Iris, the girl that likes ice cream and movies and
Iris.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Isis?
Oh, whatever.
No, it was Iris. But Jeff Johns said that was just a placeholder name for the production of the show.
Him.
That's what they said about Starling City, Cody. We saw how that turned out.
Why do you need a placeholder name for her? Just put Diana. What the fuck is the problem with that?
Yeah, it don't make any fucking sense.
Bullshit.
Come on, that's not a name.
I didn't say it. I'm just telling you.
I know, man.
Be hostile with me, Pedro. Shit.
I'm not being hostile at you. I'm being hostile at my microphone. You're just listening in.
Get in front of your microphone.
Without any hope for the show at all?
I don't.
You don't.
I don't see how it could be good at all. Because, I mean, is it going to be based on, where she's from? Or is it going to be like, okay, they throw her out to, the real world, or our world, rather?
Apparently she was sent to our world. Or, mainland or whatever you want to fucking call it.
Yeah, as an ambassador or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, yeah, I suppose.
But then, you know,
temper or something like that. It's just... fucking hell. Why don't they do it like fucking hell, what's the name of the series? The Spartacus TV show that had Lucy Lawless in it and everything. That was fucking amazing.
That was good.
Just do that.
They don't have Spartacus money.
That is true. And it's, like Cody said, it's the CW. They don't give a shit about production value or anything like that. They just, for that quick buck, they put like $500 in it. Put the pilot on. You get 1,000 people watching it. That's fine with them. They get their money back.
If they did it like Supernatural and they followed the new 52 comics of Wonder Woman, like with the mythological figures,
like being the normal people. That could be kind of cool. They won't do that.
That's too logical.
Yeah, that doesn't work. That makes much sense, but it doesn't. No, no.
He's going to fight Firefly and shit, and he's going to kill himself again. No relation.
She's going to say, no! And they're going to be like, well, I better hang myself with your lasso.
By the way, are you Wonder Woman? You look kind of plain for Wonder Woman. Oh, yeah, I said it.
Yeah, she's going to be like, it's going to be like the whole Smallville thing. She's going to wear plaid shirts and blue jeans instead of the whole getup.
Yeah. I mean, for one thing, how tall is she? Like 5'6", 5'7"?
Wait, grandma.
And, you know, Amazons are supposed to be like, you know, 6 foot, 5'11", something like that, and she's way too short for it. And
she's
not even,
already 27, too. Age
27,
so...
Man, in 10 years she'll be 37 if they do a small bill.
27 is like, isn't that like the Hollywood 17?
Yeah, but, you know, if they do a... Welling was 23, 22 when he started.
He was.
He started Smallville, so they got to at least be that age.
So he aged. So the benefit from Smallville was that they all aged naturally throughout the story. That was a lucky break they had. But with Wonder Woman, I'm not saying that it will go far and do Smallville numbers and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm sure they would... use someone that would look the part for a couple of years, and someone tall, and someone that looks like an Amazon, which there aren't much around, but, you know, I'm sure there's a few.
I mean, pull somebody that's exotic looking.
Yeah, that will do.
This is something we've talked about numerous times, is they're launching all these shows, but that's going to screw up the movies. Like, if Justice League ever happens, they've got a problem, because that show will more than likely still be going, and a lot of people are stupid, so multiple Wonder Women.
Don't forget about what happened with Superman Returns and Smallville.
I'm going to say, okay, this is two different movies. You know, we're not retarded.
The CW what? Is what? Who now what? What's the CW?
Yeah, they're not even going to watch the CW except for Vampire Diaries and whatever the hell other woman show that's on there.
We don't give a shit.
Is Vampire
Gossip
Diaries
Girl
still on?
That's the only two things they're going to watch.
Gossip Girl? Seriously? Is that still on as well?
Don't act like you don't watch it, Pedro.
I don't. And Arrow. I don't. I would fucking prefer to burn my fucking eyes to watch that.
I've read your fanfics. I've seen.
It's
I know
the same as the any boo boo fucked up shit. It's just some things I just don't understand in society.
I thought that was a joke, and then I heard that it was real.
What? Honey Boo Boo.
I don't even know what a Honey Boo Boo is, but I know it shouldn't be a comic.
Yeah,
I wasn't lying, man. I wasn't lying when I posted that. It's a real thing.
Surreal. Just surreal.
Anyway. It'll probably sell out, too.
Tugh.
Thanks to Pedro.
Any other news?
Yeah, I'll buy them all. I'll get them together, and I'll just fucking burn them all.
Well, that would be nice.
Make a huge bonfire. Just
make a public, public display of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Any other news or gossip in you guys' worlds?
Witty needs to be watching Walking Dead right now.
Yeah.
It's all time.
I've got time, bro. I'm laid off. I got time.
So you suffer from the laziness.
Yeah.
He's trying to catch up with all the other shows. And
that's the best time to catch it up. That's how I
got to catch up on rewatching Workaholics for the second time.
Yeah, and watching Any Boo Boo and watching The Vampire Diaries and
Gossip
Girl.
I told you I don't know what Boo is. I don't have.
Right.
You should watch the full series of Trailer Park Boys. A week. You fucking idiot.
I'm going to try titty again here.
You watch Shark Attack and all of that. Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
So that was all the news topics I have. Unless you guys have anything else, I have my witty recommends I can do. And we can do the comic thing, but Norwood is going to report the bulk of it later. But if any of you guys have read any comics this week, I think Cody mentioned one. We can do that and the Woody Recommends.
Let me lick that pussy.
Yeah.
I've got a question.
Superman Red Sun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear about that one.
I have it, and it's absolutely amazing.
I thought you already did Woody Recommends on Superman Red Sun.
I just read it, finished reading it like last
night. Oh, did you?
If I did, I was full of shit and drunk.
On vodka.
Which was yesterday, right? When you were full of booze and drunk. It was yesterday.
I had some vodka yesterday, and it didn't do anything to me. I must not have been drinking it fast enough or something.
I got a question for you, Pedro. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I think he can hear you. He just can't talk.
Ah, okay. I was wondering what was going on with the site, because, like, the preview images and the slider aren't there. And I was trying to update that Lego post with the other images Jacob had put there, and they're not showing up when I preview changes.
Okay, he wrote, fuck you, that's why.
I can see. He didn't write
that. Hey, Cody.
Yes.
I like the way you talk.
Thank you.
I like the way you talk.
All right. So, do any of you guys have any comics to talk about? Is anyone there?
I've read comics for this week.
I don't have any as of late, but I want to hear about this Red Sun because I've been interested about it, but I just haven't gotten around to hearing more.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. That's a separate segment. But Cody, what did you say?
I just said I got my stuff from last week and this week, so I'm up to date.
All right. Now it's time for Woody's Roundup. Yee-haw!
Hey, guys. What we have today is a collection of new comic books. I'm going to let Cody start.
Cody.
Oh, I wasn't ready for this.
God damn it. Let's do it again.
Well, keep going, motherfucker.
No, just let Cody restart. Jesus.
Yeah, just give me a second to pull that up. I thought I would
pull
be
it like, out of your pants. You
I thought it would be like
first.
An addendum. All right. One of the books out this week that I was really impressed with is Todd, the Ugliest Kid on Earth. It's a 4-issue series from Image Comics. It has a story by Ken Christensen and M.K. Perker. Christensen writes the story and Perker provides the art. It's a really weird, kind of risque, politically incorrect book. It has a kid named Todd. He's supposedly the ugliest kid on earth. He wears a bag over his head, and he's kind of a happy-go-lucky kid, and all these horrible things are happening around him, and he's being bullied, and there's an axe murderer on the loose, and he won't kill Todd because he's too ugly to die. It happens. The axe murderer shows up, and he kills a frog in front of Todd, and he's getting ready to kill Todd, but he decides he wants to see what he looks like. We don't see what he looks like, but the axe murderer says he won't kill him because he's too ugly to die. And it's kind of like if the Oblongs and, you know, that comic series, The Max, if The Max and the Oblongs had a child, it would be Todd the Ugliest Kid on Earth.
A bastard demon child. Cool.
It's a really weird, pretty funny story, and it's got 3 issues left, so check that out sometime.
I used to wear a bag on my head when I was a kid, too. What about you, Cody?
No, can't say that.
We know fucking Norwood didn't. Fucking handsome son of a bitch. Looks like a young Rob Lowe.
I guess this is kind of just in... The new Star Trek Into Darkness comic book is a prequel, apparently. It's called Countdown to Darkness. And the cover actually features Klingons, and they have the helmet on. So I guess that's kind of a confirmation that maybe the Klingons are in Star Trek Into Darkness.
Right. They had the helmets in the, I guess, what, the deleted scenes?
Yeah.
That's
hoping they wouldn't keep them.
That's an official... prequel comic that's been worked on by the people who wrote the script, so I'd say it is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. I have the link to the actual cover, and it actually looks really cool. It's like a cross between Shredder and, like, I don't know, like a ninja or a biker scout or something like that. And it's pretty cool looking. I'll put the link on here so y'all can see it.
Do you think if they're in the movies, they'll keep the helmets on all the time, or do you think that's still just so we don't know what they're supposed to look like?
I don't know. They'll probably have the helmets on for their little scenes. But we'll see. When we pick the comic book up, we'll see.
All right, now it's time for Witty Recommends. This week's recommend is Superman Red Son, written by Mark Millar and penciled by Dave Johnson and Killian Plunkett. It was an Elseworlds tale about Superman's rocket landing in a farm collective in Soviet Russia instead of Kansas. Superman still grows up to be a humble farmer, only this time he grows up as a champion of the common worker who fights a never-ending battle for Stalin, socialism, and the international expansion of the Warsaw Pact. Good God, that's a mouthful. Revealing himself into the world in 1953 as Stalin's right-hand man, we find a Superman who's really not that too different from the one that we've all become familiar with. He's still using his powers, not just in his homeland, but for what he feels is right, to help all people. As the years go by, however, President Superman is determined to bring the entire world under Soviet rule to live a perfect life. I haven't read all of Miller's writing, because quite frankly, I think what I've read of his books just feels like it's cheap trash meant for 12-year-olds. It's just a bunch of blood and cursing. I don't know what you guys think, but the ultimate sucked. This book, however, is a worthy spot on your shelf. The story has a brilliant hook that draws you in immediately, and the very much gray morality and alternate view of history is interesting. But most of all, it's just a fun read. It's not just a simple course correction on the ship that makes the story. Many other known DC characters make appearances in places and times that don't quite fit up. But who didn't want to see a Russian Batman taking on a campaign against an aging dictator Superman? This story is...
The most interesting thing... One of the most interesting things of the book is that Batman is not your usual Batman. He doesn't have a suit, per se.
No.
He's the leader of a rebel group that goes against what Superman represents within the Russian community. And it's just brilliant. You can tell it's Batman from the dialogue and, and obviously from the way they did the costume. You can tell it's Batman, but it's just a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant thing. Sorry.
Might be a little more off-center than normal Batman.
Yeah.
Slightly, it's hard to tell.
Slightly.
But yeah, this story is accessible to anyone that picks it up, but all the nods to fans here are very rewarding to spot. Many Superman classic covers are glimpsed here. Speaking of which, the art by Dave Johnson and Killian Plunkett is just awesome. Just viewing the cover, showing a Fleischer-esque Superman in the gray costume on a Soviet red background, standing on top of the diamond symbol with the sickle and hammer instead of the classic S, that really just sums up all the art. I think if you see that picture, there's not a whole lot more that needs to be said about it. Miller said he got the idea at the age of 6 after reading Superman 300, where the Soviets and the United States race to recover Superman's rocket, which crashed between them. As a Cold War kid, it sparked his imagination, and he even went so far as to pitch the idea to DC at the age of 13. If DC Animation is going to keep going with the Superman-Batman movies, this one would be an awesome one to do. Superman and Lex Luthor, with their ridiculously strong intellects in this book, feel a whole lot like Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman. both seemingly are smart enough to solve literally all the world's problems with ease. Those scenes got a few groans out of me, but it really wasn't enough to sour the story. I said before, the morality of the book was gray, and it is hard to decide who is good and who is evil. Superman doesn't wish to spread communism with Roar, but he is a fascist big brother type that sees and hears all.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of, I don't know, does kind of seem like a dick, and he doesn't really address that stuff, does he?
No. There's dialogue scenes that come across a bit like a dickish person, and there's others that just come along as just weird and creepy, you know, in a Russian kind of way at the time depicted by the book, you know, just comes across as weird, according to what you know from Batman, Superman, but throughout, it's a very enjoyable book. At least for me, it was a very enjoyable book. I picked it up, and normally I do like a break midway, but I just went through it because for me it was an interesting issue, an interesting question, and I think story wise it was done well. But again, most of the dialogue could have been better.
Right.
Some characters I could live without, but you know, there's nitpicking.
Yeah, nitpicking. I had nitpicks during it. Like,
yeah, but
like I said, I mean, Batman being in Russia doesn't really have anything to do with Superman landing in Russia, but it's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, but
it's just cool.
But it was cool. It looks cool, and his dialogue is cool as well. If memory serves me correctly, spoiler alert, he kills himself in the end or something like that. Trying to take out Superman as well, and it's just you relate to that Batman from Red Sun because of the Batman that you know, and it's brilliant.
Crazier.
I will say that was probably some of the best Lex Luthor that I've seen in a while. I really like the way that Mark Miller went about tackling his psychology and why he does the things he does.
Mm-hmm.
I was just enjoyed every bit of every Lex Luthor scene.
Yeah, throughout, I think it was a very enjoyable book, and it is a very enjoyable book. It's not a book for everyone, I think. It's not for every fan of Superman, or Batman for that matter, but for every fan of Superman. But it's a very, very interesting book to read and to have.
Speaking of Lex Luthor, you know, on one side of the coin, Superman seems like a nice guy. Like I said, he doesn't want war, but he is a complete fascist. Lex Luthor is really the freedom fighter in this book, but he's really fighting for all the wrong reasons. I mean, I think Lois even says in there, like, you know, the ends probably justify the means, but yeah, he's kind of a huge douche. You know, I don't know who you guys would choose in that, but fuck it, I choose Batman. Overall, what did you think, Cody?
I've read it very recently. I thought I really enjoyed it. I read a lot of those Elseworld books anyway, and I thought it was one of the better Elseworld books. It's a tongue twister there, but I got it.
You know, I mentioned All-Star Superman. When I was reading it, it almost felt like it had taken off from All-Star Superman, but it really seems like Grant Morrison took a lot of his characterization from that, even with Superman being ridiculously strong and smart. I mean, they're both, like, insane super geniuses. Like I said, it's almost kind of ridiculous when they get to parts of it. It's like,
yeah, I can see that. Because when Stalin, this is very early in the book, so it's not a huge spoiler, but when Stalin is, he's been poisoned, I believe Superman dashes off to the library and reads every medical book in Russia. And the
map. Oh, yeah. That was
in 30 seconds or so, and comes back and tells the doctors what to do.
Yeah, and there's another scene, I won't spoil it, but basically Superman comes up against the Green Lantern power, and if you know, like, the modern books, how Superman deals with it could never happen in the comics books, but he pretty much brushes off every major power in the world. And Lex Luthor, apparently, given like a week's amount of time, could fix every single global problem in the world easily while playing chess with seven people. It's a little nuts. But apparently Grant Morrison gave him the idea for how to end the book, so I guess it's a little bit of a fair trade. I won't talk about the ending. It's a little bit of a surprise ending. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it yet, but, I mean, he went for it. It did seem to have Grant Morrison's guiding hand there. It kind of takes a little bit of a shift, but it's kind of cool. Anyways, that's my review. Superman Red Sun, pick it up today, comrade. All right, that about wraps it up for this episode. Stay tuned for a new segment starting momentarily. You can reach us via Twitter at Pedro@WolverinePT and Norwood at NCReb1986. Any comments and questions can be tweeted at @the_weeklydose or emailed to podcast@comicbooktherapy.com. As always, any complaints or full frontal male nudity can be directed to geekboymovie.com. Time for our new segment. Very excited about this. The name of it is, I Want to Hear What Cody Has to Sing.
Yeah. Cody. I'm not singing.
What? No. We're depending on you, brah.
I'm not Come singing on. For our tens of listeners.
Aw, that's not nice.
What do you want me to sing first?
Tonight, what Cody will be singing for us is about Captain America's Mighty Shield from the 1960s cartoon show.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who choose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and white and the blue will come through when Captain America throws his mighty
Don't
shield.
Don't be laughing about Captain America's Mighty Shield, Cody. Come on.
It's supposed to be a song, not poetry at a cafe.
Yeah, no shit.
I'm sorry I disappointed you, Whitey.
All right, that might be all we get out of Cody tonight. Otherwise, I'd have you do it again. Thanks to all of our listeners for joining us tonight. See you next time on The Weekly Dose, Ninja Vanish.
Five, four, three, two,
engage.
Prescribed by Comic Book Therapy.